Welcome to What the World Needs Now. It's our healing day of prayer, and we invite you to join us to call in and give us your prayer requests. God's Word goes forth out into the world and does the work it was sent to do, to bring health and healing, to bring courage and strength when we're struggling. So sit back and enjoy this hour of power, of conversation and prayer.
Good afternoon. Welcome to In His Sign Catholic Radio. I'm Grace Marquet, and I welcome you to this, our Friday Healing Day of Prayer. And I'm looking forward to this very special day. It's a day when we pray for your prayer intentions, the intentions of our brothers and sisters. And I always ask you to join me when I'm praying for the intentions. Join me in your heart, in your mind, in your spirit, as we pray for these very important intentions. Now, on our last program, I also asked for the intercession of a very holy woman of God, Philadelphia's own Saint Mother Catherine Drexel. Now, it turned out to be a very special program, as I shared with you the life of this incredible woman. I had so much to share with you. I promised you that there would be a part two. I had a lot of things I wanted you to hear, and I said there would be a part two, and this is it. This is part two. So for those of you who did not hear part one, not to worry, because after our prayer intentions, I will give a quick summary of the life of St. Catherine Drexel. And then I'll move on to some more exciting, unbelievable experiences that she encountered. Now, for those of you who do not know her, you are going to be amazed. It's a perfect time to ask her to intercede. You know why? This is the month of her feast day. March 3rd was her feast day. And also, we are celebrating the 25th anniversary of St. Catherine Drexel being declared a saint. She was canonized by our beloved St. John Paul. He canonized her a saint. And let me tell you, when you start hearing some of the things that this woman accomplished, you will know. This is the holy season of Lent. And who more to turn to than Mother Catherine Drexel? She was the epitome of those things we say about in Lent: prayer, fasting, and almsgiving. So, as I said, I'm looking forward to it. Before we begin, let's see, I have a couple of announcements to make here. And this has to do with our dear president of In His Sign Catholic Radio. These are events that are going to be going on, and you may be interested in going to them. One is it's a Divine Mercy Retreat, and it's going to be held at the Malvern Retreat House, April 10th through the 12th of this year, 2026. And the wonderful speakers and presenters on this retreat are Bishop Efren Esmelia, Reverend Stephen DeLacy, and our own Kathleen McCarthy, the president of In His Sign Catholic Radio. If you've heard them speak before, you know you're in for a treat. If you haven't, you will be sure to be treated in a wonderful way with their powerful testimonies. Bishop Esmerilla is an auxiliary bishop for the Archdiocese of Philadelphia. Stephen DeLacy, very, very powerful. He's the Vicar of Faith Formation for Youth and Young Adults in our Archdiocese. And I heard him speak at Kathleen's 50th anniversary of ministry that we recently had. And he spoke at that, and I was just overwhelmed by the power of his speaking. And of course, you know Kathleen McCarthy, Catholic lay evangelist, published author, radio broadcaster. She's traveled across the country and internationally. So that's on April 10th through the 12th. And you could call Maureen here at 610-527-2906 if you want more information on that retreat. There is another one going on. This would be let's see, we'll take this one here first. This is the proclaim liberty throughout the land unto all the inhabitants. And what is that? This will be our annual Wake Up America Dinner. Wake Up America Dinner. It's going to be again at the Malvern Retreat House on April 26th, celebrating our 250th birthday of America. Proclaim liberty throughout the land unto all the inhabitants. The keynote address will be given by Kathleen McCarthy. You'll have a chance to meet the radio broadcasters. That's probably me, huh? One of us. Anyway, there will be a silent auction where you could win some wonderful things. One year I won an Irish tea set. That wasn't too bad for an Italian girl, huh? And I gave it to my little Italian and Irish niece, and she loved it. Also, there are drawings for raffle prizes. So you can come to this. It's on, let's see. It's going to be, as I said, at Malvern, and on April 26th. This is usually very, very powerful. I've been to this one, and you won't want to miss it. Again, call Maureen, 610-527-2906. So we'll put that here, and we have another one. I'll say in the second half of our program, I'll get into that one, okay? So now, in the meantime, we're about to begin our program, and before we begin, we always pray. So I pray in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Lord, I am always amazed when you reveal to us the occupants of your kingdom, your saints, and the journey they took in their lives that got them to heaven with you. It was never an easy journey, but no matter how difficult, it didn't stop them. Lord, their love for you and their trust in your love for them, in their struggles, their setbacks, their illnesses, only increase their desire to achieve the mission that you gave them. I look at your dear servant, St. Catherine Drexel. Lord, her father was so wealthy. This child could have had anything she wanted. But you knew, Lord, what was truly in her heart. You knew what was really important to her. And that trip that her family made out to the West, Lord, you knew how it would affect her, how it would affect Catherine. She was just a young child, but what she saw on that trip changed her life, and Lord, you knew that it would. She was appalled when she saw the plight of the Native American Indians and the African American community. The conditions they lived in were horrific. She knew she had to do something to make their lives better. And she was young when she knew this. She had to do it for them and for their children. It was an impossible mission, but she believed that she could make it possible with your help, Lord. In the late 1800s, early 1900s, Catherine Drexel met with so much resistance, so much anger, so much prejudice, but she was bright, and she was your special child, Lord, and she even established an order of nuns, of sisters, the Sisters of the Blessed Sacrament, to help her in this mission. She was their mother superior for 44 years, an active, challenging 44 years, at times dangerous, but they were rewarding years. And the Blessed Sacrament was her strength that carried her through. Her deep devotion to you, Lord, in the Holy Eucharist, in your precious body and blood, that was her life. I thank you, Lord, for placing this woman, Saint Mother Catherine Drexel, on our earth, and for the changes she made over 70 years before the Civil Rights Act. What a woman. Amen and amen. Now, I don't know if you can see this, but maybe I'll push it here if it'll be a little better. Okay, I want to show this to you. This is a painting. This is a painting. This is Mother Catherine Drexel. Okay, Herb Drexel. And on her right here is a little Native Indian child with the little red dress outfit there. And on this side are two African-American children. And this was her ministry to these two groups of people. This was her mission. And she did it in an unbelievable, unbelievable way. You know, I want to put this up here. Maybe that would be a little better for you. Okay, let's see. Let's see. She was in the crypt in her mother house. That's where she was. She's there right now. If you wanted to go to the Basilica of Saints Peter and Paul in Philadelphia, she is in the crypt there. But as I said, prior to that, she was at her mother house in the crypt there. And it was so beautiful because you could go there. I went there a number of times. You could kneel at her crypt and you could place your hands on her and pray there. And then one of the people who were there, either one of the volunteers or the employees, the Native Americans or the African people there, what they would do is while you were praying, they would take a holy card of her and they would place it on the crypt. They would lay it right on the crypt and then hand it to you. I still remember that moment in my spirit. It was so, so special to receive that card. So I'm going to leave this here during the program. I will leave that here. I hope you can see it. And I have here, I'm going to put it out here. This is a relic. Here's Mother with the mission people she worked for. Right here at the bottom is a relic. And it says on the back, this relic is a second class relic. It's a cloth, part of a cloth that was worn by Catherine Drexel. She actually wore the clothing that this relic is attached to. So I'm going to leave it here as we pray for our intentions. I'm going to leave it right there. Okay? And anyway, this painting is really symbolic of all that she did. It's a beautiful painting of her. She's a wonderful, beautiful woman. So now we have some prayer intentions, and we always get to these first. We always try to get to these first, our prayer intentions. Let's see here. Okay. Okay. Let's see. We have, on our last program, we prayed for Marlene's mother, Julie. Julie was 103 years old. She is in Belgium. She's from Belgium. And Julie had a terrible fall. Her daughter, Marlene, that is her name, Marlene is her daughter. At that time, as we were praying on the last program, Marlene returned to Belgium because her mother had hit her head. She had a brain bleed and a hematoma. Now, we just found out that Julie is now in hospice. Just that fast, she is in hospice. Her family is there with her. And Julie is, knowing what's going on, she is fearful. So, Lord, we pray for your peace to fall upon Julie. She had gone through a trauma and is suddenly placed in hospice like that. And that would cause most of us, Lord, to be fearful. Doesn't matter that she lived a long life. That doesn't matter, Lord. This is what she's feeling right now at this moment. And when that moment comes, we really need your angels to surround us, to surround Julie. And I feel right now, and I have it with you to pray the Chaplet of Divine Mercy prayer, the prayer of Saint Faustina for Julie. O blood and water, which gushed forth from the heart of Jesus as a font of mercy for us, I trust in you. O blood and water which gushed forth from the heart of Jesus as a font of mercy for us, I trust in you. O blood and water which gushed forth from the heart of Jesus as a font of mercy for us, I trust in you. Eternal God, in whom mercy is endless and the treasury of compassion inexhaustible, look kindly upon Julie and increase your mercy in her, that in difficult moments she might not despair, nor become despondent, but with great confidence submit herself to your holy will, which is love and mercy itself. Amen and amen. And Julie, we pray that for you, and we will continue to pray for you at this time. We pray also, we continue to pray for dear Landon. Landon, what a sweetheart he is. Landon, for a while we've been praying for him. At the age of 3, he came down with cancer in the stomach area. And this child went through chemo for a long time and radiation. And when he was healed, we rejoiced. We were so happy for him. Well, it came back a second time. And again, the chemo and radiation. And then a third time. So he is now going through it right now. And we just got word from his Aunt Linda that his chemo treatments are complete. And he is now having his radiation at CHOP. And she sent a couple of pictures, and they're adorable. Landon is, he's sitting at home, and he's on a sofa. He's sitting on a sofa, and he's kind of stretched back like this. He's stretched back. And next to him are three adorable babies, about 6 months old, each of them. And they have their pretty little outfits on with a pretty little bow in their heads. And it's just such a beautiful picture. It really is. And Landon looks as if he has some form of medical equipment on his chest, under his shirt. So we know that nothing is impossible to you. I think of all the little children that St. Catherine Drexel reached out to medically. And I ask you, Mother Drexel, to intercede to Jesus for this child's healing. It's been going on for so long now. And we also call upon our newly declared saint, Carlo Acutis. He was a cancer victim. He is now recently declared a saint. And Carlo, you know what Landon is going through right now. We pray for that. And we continue to pray for, Teresa Novelli. This was requested by her cousin, Barbara Barsky Caro. To give you a little background, we celebrated Kathleen McCarthy's 50 years in ministry, and it was an unbelievable celebration at St. Charles Borromeo Seminary. On the altar for Mass were four bishops, monsignors, numerous priests. It was an overwhelming tribute to Kathleen, and well-deserved. Well, at the dinner, sitting next to me was this woman, Barbara, and she asked what I was doing on the program, and I told her we prayed for prayer intentions. She asked if we could pray for her cousin. Her cousin is Teresa Novelli. Barbara met Kathleen when Kathleen went to give a retreat at her place down in Delaware. That's right. Now, she said her cousin has spinal stenosis, and it has affected her mobility. Her cousin Teresa is a former Air Force nurse. She has her master's in gerontology, and we continue to pray for her. We thank you for your service, Teresa. You were a nurse. You've touched many people in your being a nurse. You probably have seen and heard many, many, many things. So we're praying for you, Teresa. We're praying that we intercede to Mother Drexel. She served those in need for 44 years, and she became immobile from a heart attack, which we will get into. And we're praying for her powerful intercession. We ask for an increased mobility in Teresa's life, that you target those areas that need to be strengthened. And Lord, as the friend of that man in Scripture, who placed him through the roof in front of you, Lord, we place Teresa before you. We implore that your power come upon her. Just say the word, Lord, and her soul, her mind, her body may be healed. Let's see, we have John. I pray again for John. John, as you know, is my cousin, first cousin. And John just completed his fourth surgery. But that's not all he's been through. I've shared some of it with you. For those of you who do not know, he's been through so much. 36 years ago, paralyzed from his waist down because of an infection that got in his system, peripheral spine, nervous system. And he was paralyzed then for 36 years like that. He got one of those scooters, which helped him get around a bit, until a garage door opened and a car came out and hit him. Eventually, he had to have his legs amputated. He's in Inglis House. He recently had surgery for stones, blockage between his kidney and bladder. He's doing better. Not finished yet, but doing better. And I just want to say I love you, John. And I want to tell everybody that today's your birthday. Happy birthday, John. And I understand you're going to be going out of Inglis House. And you're going to be out and doing a little socializing. And you deserve it more than anything. And I love the relationship between you and my brother. You keep calling each other, hey, cuz, yo, cuz, hi, cuz, how's the sandwich, cuz? It's beautiful. It's beautiful to behold. I love both of you. Both of you. It's just so beautiful. So let's see who else we have here. We have, we just got these in. This one was John. This is another John for health reasons. And I'll include you with my cousin John, okay? We don't know what your reasons are, but we don't have to, because Jesus does. We pray that whatever they are, that Jesus gives you a complete healing. For Tina's family, no reason is given, doesn't have to be given, but we pray for your family, Tina. Whatever's going on in there, whatever is needed, the Lord knows what is needed and what to give you, and the Lord is going to honor the fact that you're placing this prayer intention before us. And my brothers and sisters out there listening to this program, we prayed that they would actually join me in praying for these in your heart, your mind, your spirit. Lift these intentions up. So we have also a Lori Sitsibi on the prayer line for cancer. And that is always a very difficult prayer intention. But we pray for your cancer, Lori. We know the Lord can work miracles with your cancer. I'm going to admit, I had cancer, breast cancer. It was in 2009, and I thank the good Lord, did what had to be done, and listen to your doctors and do what they tell you. And we're praying for you, Lori, and we will continue to pray for you, Lori. We will continue. That is so beautiful. Let's see. We have, let's see here. Okay, this is important here. This is one of the things the Vatican looks for in determining if someone is canonized a saint. They had to live a life of heroic virtue and also other things, among other things, interviews and different kinds of information on them. Also, they have to have two miracles attributed to their intercession, one for beatification and one for canonization. Now, Catherine Drexel, her two miracles were approved, and both dealt with miraculous healings of hearing. So I thought, because we're praying for our brothers and sisters through St. Catherine's intercession, there are many people out there who have hearing issues. They can't hear, or all kinds of ear problems. So her first hearing miracle involved a young man by the name of Robert Gutherman. He was 14 years old, deaf from severe ear infection, life-threatening infection. It destroyed three bones in his right ear. He had permanent deafness. It could have been fatal, but the family prayed to Catherine Drexel for a miracle. They lived not far from her mother's house. Robert's whole family were praying for him, including her Sisters of the Blessed Sacrament. Robert's hearing was miraculously restored. Doctors could not explain his healing. Perfect. Tests showed the destroyed bones were not damaged. Destroyed bones do not regenerate. This miracle was declared the first miracle through the intercession of St. Catherine Drexel. The second miracle was a little girl. Her name was Amy Wall, 2 years old. She had severe nerve deafness, both ears, nerve deafness. Her mother happened to see on TV the story of Robert Guthrieman, who was healed by Catherine Drexel. And she told her family and her children, let's pray to Catherine Drexel. So she got a second-class relic, that's what this is right here, from the Sisters of the Blessed Sacrament at the Mother House. She pressed the relic to Amy's ear. Amy was attending a school for the deaf. Well, her teacher noticed the dramatic change in Amy's response to sound. Amy could not only hear, but she could speak. Now, when someone is deaf, they haven't heard words. Very difficult to speak those words. That's why they have sign language. Amy's miracle was amazing. She could not only hear, but she could also speak. And today she speaks in three languages. Is that amazing? Amy's miracle was the miracle in which Catherine Drexel was declared Saint Catherine Drexel. So I say to you, Catherine Drexel, our beloved saint here, you were always around the children in the schools that you put up, that we will get to. So we come to you, Mother, as you intercede for all of our intentions today. We invoke your prayers, yes, for our hearing and ear difficulties, but also for whatever issue that lies in our hearts. We pray to you, and we know the power that the Lord has given you. This is just amazing. This is just so unbelievable. So now, for those of you who didn't hear part one of the program on Catherine, I said I would give you a brief summary, okay? I'll get into some of that. And she was born Catherine Mary Drexel, November 26, 1858, in Philadelphia. Her father was Francis Drexel, a very wealthy man who established a banking empire with the Drexel Banks. Her mother was Hannah Langstroth. Sadly, 4 weeks after Catherine was born, her mother, Hannah, died of childbirth from a serious infection. It was a very sad loss for the Drexel family. Well, after a period of time, her father married Emma Bouvier Drexel. They had a child. Her name was Louise. So Catherine had an older sister by 3 years, Elizabeth, and a baby sister, Louise. Emma was a wonderful mother. She was a Catholic woman, and the family was deeply religious. They attended Mass every day. She also put a chapel in their home. 3 days a week, get this, 3 days a week, Emma opened her home to the poor and needy. She wanted her daughters to know that their wealth belonged to God. God entrusted it to them that they can serve the poor. So what an example Emma set here. She set the stage for their future lives. And as I said, when the family took the trip to the western part of the United States, Catherine saw the plight and destitution of the Native Americans and the African Americans. And that was the beginning of her personal and financial support of numerous missions, schools, and missionaries. And we're going to get into that. We're going to take a little break, and then we're going to get into this woman and the extensive work that she did. Come on back.
Kathleen McCarthy enhances my life in so many ways. She's a friend, a teacher, and at times, a true spiritual mother. She has the great gift of meeting and loving each person where they are at. My name is Kathy Tierney. After I met Kathleen, I started to listen to her radio programs. In the Silence of My Heart is so special because the words provoke personal meditation and reflection. It gives gems to think about Jesus' love for me and for each of us. Our Lord then put Kathleen and Father Dermot Roach together when the Holy Spirit is with you. What a match. Wow. The program is an hour, but amazingly, it is like a coffee break that flies by. Our Blessed Mother and the Holy Spirit brought us the child Jesus. And Kathleen and Father Dermot bring Jesus the Word to the opening of every program. After the reading of the Holy Gospel, their teaching conversation so stirs your heart and soul, you will know the Holy Spirit is with you.
My friends, it is you who have stood lockstep with us in underpinning our apostolate by your powerful prayers and sacrificial financial giving. We have no doubt that you surely are the angels the Lord said he would send to us, and we are forever grateful. These are urgent times, and we need to proclaim the truth of God's Word, which alone can set us free. And we need to bring the Lord's healing power, love, and mercy out to a world that is in such desperate need. As your local Catholic Radio Apostolate, we are humbled and mightily blessed to have your loyal support. For our new listeners who would be interested in joining us, we can be reached at 610-527-2906 or on the web at inhissign.com.
Well, this is interesting here. We got a prayer intention, just came through. It's Erica. And Erica, you're going to be surprised because I know your last name. Because you called last time I was on and we had problem with the phones. And I couldn't hear what you were saying to me and we were going back and forth. But you were so sweet. We managed to get in there and do it. But I have your name on my list here because I was going to repeat this for you. And it just came in again for you. So this is no coincidence, Erica. I have you on my mind. And we're going to pray for you. Let's see. We have, I have your intentions. Lift up their intentions. I have lift up Erica's intentions again because she was so sweet and had to deal with the back and forth. Well, here they are. Erica asks for prayers for herself and her family, that they have a closer relationship with Christ. And she also asks for the restoration of her eyesight. She was born blind. God bless you, Erica. You were on my mind, Erica. You were on my mind. I have you right over here, and here's the prayer that just came in. So this is wonderful. Erica, God bless you. Erica, we pray for your family, that they have a closer relationship with Christ. That's a beautiful intention that you have for them, which means in your heart, you know what that is. You know how important that is, and you want it for them. I love that. I love that, Erica. It's so beautiful. And we're praying for that. We will pray for that. And restoration of your eyesight. Born blind. Okay. I don't know how old you are, Erica. I don't know. It doesn't matter how old you are. But in your heart, you want this. We're going to pray for your desire. The desire in your heart. And give it to the hands of Jesus. He restored the sight of the blind in Scripture. He certainly did. And he used Mother Drexel. She performed many, many miracles. We're going to invoke her also in your petition, Erica. We're going to pray that something beautiful happens for you. Do you hear? We're praying for that. And the fact that I kept this prayer intention, I'm believing I'm going to ask our listeners to believe. And of course, by sending this, Erica, you believe. I love you, Erica. Thank you. God bless you. I love you. Well, now, we're back to Catherine Drexel. Let's see, she was now starting. She wanted to help the Native Americans and the African Americans. And the first school she put together was St. Catherine's Indian School in Santa Fe, New Mexico. She went to Rome and asked Pope Leo the 13th to staff her missions with missionaries. She said to him, I'll build them. I'll finance them. She was wealthy, remember. I'll finance them, she said. I want you to send missionaries there. Well, she was surprised to hear the Pope say this to her. "You know, you should become a missionary yourself," he said. And she said she had thought a lot about it. At the time, she was taking care of her mother, Emma, who had come down with cancer. And her mother was very ill for 3 years, and Catherine took care of her. But when her mother passed, she decided to give herself totally to God through service to this special group of people. The need was so great, so great. She felt a compassionate urgency to change the racial attitudes. The law prevented these children from obtaining a basic education, especially with them working on the plantations, which Catherine Drexel sought to change. In fact, she started buying up the plantations to build schools for the children. Was she dedicated or what? She endured a lifetime of people coming against her, but she didn't let it stop her. Even the Ku Klux Klan was coming against this woman. She experienced many obstacles in her mission to advance the cause for racial justice. February 12, 1891, she became a religious sister. She founded the Sisters of the Blessed Sacrament. And during her lifetime, you're going to want to hear this, she opened, she staffed, and she directly supported 60 schools, 50 missions, 30 convents, 23 rural schools in 21 states. That included trade schools, agricultural schools, and boarding houses. And Mother Drexel and her sisters supplied the families with food, clothing, medicine, rent, furnishings, salaries for the teachers, and priests for their spiritual needs. Her sisters visited the people in their homes, in the hospitals, in the prisons, and in all of their activities. Is that unbelievable? This is what this woman did. Now, her crowning educational focus, she established in 1925 the Black Catholic Xavier University in Louisiana. 2 years after that, she put up four graduate schools after the Xavier University. Over the years, many of her graduates have made their mark as doctors, lawyers, pharmacists, business leaders, government officials, advocates for the needy. And then in 1954, the year before she died, she opened to all faiths, cultures, and creeds. She opened everything up to them in keeping with her push for social justice. What a servant of God. She is amazing. Now, during the time that Mother Catherine spent on the Indian reservation, she became friends with a famous Sioux Indian chief. His name was Chief Red Cloud. I'm going to show you a picture of one of these greats. This is something to see. This was taken in the late 1800s. He was quite elderly by then. This is Chief Red Cloud, okay? Notice he's wearing his Indian garb and the headpiece. Now look at his vest. Both sides of his vest are embroidered with the cross of Jesus Christ. Chief Red Cloud had a great respect for Mother Catherine Drexel. And in his own words, he said he appreciated what the sisters did for their children, educating them in the schools. They treated them as if the children were their own. Even the Lakota leaders, Mother Catherine called him a strong leader, a courageous Catholic. That's what she called him. Because of Mother Drexel, Chief Red Cloud became a Catholic, as did his wife. They were baptized by Father Joseph Bushman. He was a Jesuit priest, and he baptized them at the Holy Rosary Mission that Mother founded. It was on the Pine Ridge Reservation. They were baptized there. Now, one of the things the sisters also encountered in their mission was danger. Now, I'm going to share this difficult story with you. It's called The Massacre Wounded Knee at Wounded Knee. It began supposedly quite by accident when an Indian policeman killed Sitting Bull. Sitting Bull was a legendary Indian chief. He was a hero to them. He always picked up for them. Even though they were here in this country, he made sure they were taken care of. Well, he was murdered. Well, for 2 weeks, the enraged Indians burned homes, pillaged the place, slaughtered many people. And many of their attacks were against government buildings and schools. Now, Mother Catherine's Holy Rosary Mission was in the center of where all of this was going on. And whoever approached where the Indians were staying, in the lodge that they were staying, whoever approached that, and if they were in dress like we dress in, or supposedly in our dress, well, whoever approached where they were staying, they were shot. Boom, that was it. They were shot down. Well, the feds had to get involved. The federal government. Reprisal. Reprisal came when the government troopers slaughtered 200 Indian men, women, and children. They buried them in a cemetery next to the Catholic Church at Wounded Knee. Now, the other young Indian warriors who were still alive, they intended to destroy Mother's Holy Rosary Mission and kill the sisters. At the time, Mother's school was staffed by the Franciscan sisters. Chief Red Cloud, what does he do? He intervenes. He used all of his influence to convince those warriors that the black robes, that's what he called the sisters because of the black garb they wore, that the sisters always acted kindly toward the Indians and toward their children. The sisters loved them. And some of the other chiefs joined Chief Red Cloud as he said to these young warriors, if you harm the Holy Rosary Mission or the missionaries or the sisters, Chief Red Cloud and his tribe would go over to the government side. They would go over to the soldiers and fight against their own warriors. That is huge, my friends. He would go against the government, against his own warriors, to be on the side of the government because of what was going on. Well, what happens? The warring stopped. The sisters, the black robes, the missionaries were not harmed. My friends, what is interesting is that all of this took place around Mother's Holy Rosary Mission. Her Holy Rosary Mission. There it is. Mother Catherine had a very deep devotion to the Blessed Mother. She wrote so many beautiful prayers, so many of them. And the prayers just emanated from her. They just came forth from her being. She trusted in Mary's protection of her so deeply. And when her friend, Chief Red Cloud, passed, he was buried in her Holy Rosary Cemetery at Pine Ridge Reservation. And I'll show you that again. That's one of his tribesmen next to him. I'll show you him again. Buried in her Holy Rosary Mission with his wife beside him. His wife's name, her real name was Mary. Isn't that amazing? That is just so, so beautiful. Keep you saying that again. Now, my friends, in 1935, our beloved Mother Catherine Drexel suffered a massive heart attack and subsequent heart attacks and a stroke. She had done so much in her life. She was confined to her bed. And for the last 20 years of her life, she was rendered almost completely immobile. This woman, who accomplished so much, now lived in the infirmary at the mother house. She gave herself to a life of contemplation and adoration of her beloved Jesus. Now, on my first program, part one, I shared a deeply personal experience in relation to Catherine Drexel that I never forgot. And for those who didn't hear part one, I would like to share it with you. At the time, I was invited to give a concert. That's what I did in my adult life, gave Christian concerts. Give a concert and give a day of recollection to a group of Third Order Franciscans. And it was to be given at the Mother House. Mother Catherine at that point was already declared a saint. I got to the Mother House a little early to set up my sound system. And a sister of the Blessed Sacrament walked in. And she said to me, "Are you Grace?" I said, "Yes, I am, sister." She said, "Well, if you like, I can help you set up your equipment." Well, we started talking, which was better than setting up the equipment. And I said, "Sister, I'm honored to be here where Mother Catherine lived. Also, I am impressed speaking with one of Mother's sisters of the Blessed Sacrament." Now, as we spoke, she saw that I had a love for Mother Catherine Drexel. And she said, "Grace, how would you like to see the room where Mother spent her final days?" My friends, I was stunned. I was at a complete loss of words. I said, "Sister, I'm honored that you're offering me this special privilege. Yes, I would cherish that." As we approached Mother's room, there was such an air of reverence and sanctity. There was a bed, couple of pieces of furniture, and Sister said to me, "If you notice, there is a window against the wall on the floor." And I thought, "A window on the floor?" She said to me, "Bend down, look through it." So I bent down and I looked through the window. I couldn't believe what I saw. Below was the chapel in the Mother House. It was a long room, beautiful wooden chairs with armrests, and the sisters would sit on either side of each other so that as they prayed, they would sing responses to each other. It was just so beautiful. Watching that, looking at that, and trying to imagine how that sounded with them. Now I looked up, and on the altar was the monstrance with the Blessed Sacrament, the body and blood of Jesus Christ. So if Mother, listen to this now, if Mother was in bed, if she turned her head slightly, she could be in adoration all day, every day, of her Jesus, whom she loved so much. My friends, seeing her room, seeing the Blessed Sacrament, brought back words that she spoke before she ever had that heart attack, before she was ever confined to bed. I would like to read Mother's words to you. These were words that, in her fervent love of the Eucharist that she spoke, she said this, her words. "My sweetest joy is to be in the presence of Jesus in the Holy Sacrament. I beg that when obliged to withdraw in body, I may leave my heart before the Holy Sacrament. How I would miss our Lord if he were to be away from me. By his presence in the Blessed Sacrament and after benediction, the priest locks the sacred host in the tabernacle. I beg Jesus to lock me in the tabernacle until morning." My friends, how profound is that? She spoke these words before she had her heart attack, before she was confined to bed. And now here she is in that very place that she prayed for when she said, "I beg that when obliged to withdraw in body," and she surely was withdrawn in body, "that I may leave my heart before the Holy Sacrament. I beg Jesus to lock me in the tabernacle until morning." Oh, my friends, she doesn't have to be locked in the tabernacle with Jesus until morning, because right now, she is locked in Jesus' arms in the kingdom. Hallelujah. 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 You know, when Mother was beatified, there was a mass of thanksgiving at Saints Peter and Paul in the Cathedral in Philadelphia. On the altar was a Native American dance troupe from one of her schools who danced in honor of Mother. The cathedral choir sang the liturgy. Now, there was a special song for Mother sung by a black choir. They were called the Urban Ministry Choir. The song was "My Tribute to God Be the Glory." It was wonderful. When I saw that, I only recently saw that, I was so moved because I had recorded that same song, and I didn't know the choir sang it for Mother's beatification. The fact that I just saw it, to me, was no coincidence. I've now done 2 programs on Mother, and I don't think it was a coincidence. So today, in honor of St. Catherine Drexel's 25th anniversary of her sainthood, I would like to sing it for you and for me as a prayer from us to Mother in the Kingdom. And I'm going to ask Patrick, our producer, engineer there, it's on a CD, it's on my CD, he's going to play it for you.
Can I say thanks for the things you have done for me? Things so undeserved, yet you gave to prove your love for me. Voices of a million angels could not express my gratitude. All that I am and ever hope to be, I owe it all to thee. To God
The voices of a million angels could not express my gratitude. All that I am and ever hope to be, I owe it all to thee. To God be the glory. Had another visit, but it's a personal story. I think you should hear it. My dear sister Dolores, who has since passed, we went to the mother house on her feast day. And while we were there, an elderly sister of the Blessed Sacrament came over to us. She said, "May I show you around?" We said, "Oh, yes." She said, "I knew Mother Catherine. I worked with her." That in itself was a gift. She worked with Mother Catherine. What a lovely woman this nun was, and she told us this story. She said when Mother was confined to bed, that sister would go in her room and check up on her. She went in, Mother was sleeping. There was a little book in her hand. It was a prayer book, just laying in her hand as Mother was sleeping. So she said, "Well, Mother's fine." She left the room. She went back a little later. Mother was still sleeping. Again, little book in her hand, looking at the book. She wasn't, look, she was sleeping. She was sleeping, and the book was laying in her hand. Okay, so the sister left. She went back a third time. Same page, book was still open. Mother's sleeping, and she thought, you know, when she wakes up, she may want to see a different prayer, so I'm going to flip the pages ahead. I'm going to flip them ahead to another prayer so she could have a new prayer when she wakes up. So she did that, and then she said she left the room. Well, she went back a fourth time. Mother's eyes were closed, and the nun looked at the prayer book. Mother Drexel had flipped the pages back to the first prayer she was praying. And the nun said, "I looked at the prayer to see what she flipped it back to." She said it was the prayer for the unborn. I want to tell you, prayer for the unborn. She knew what she was doing. If she had been living when these marches were going on, she would have been right in the front, huh? The significance of this also is the fact her dear sister Elizabeth, that she loved so much, she wanted her to be married, and she did get married. She was married a couple of years, and she was going to have a baby, and Mother Catherine was so happy for her sister. Well, sadly, her sister died in childbirth, just like their mother had died. It was obvious that Catherine was praying for the babies, praying for the unborn, praying for her sister Elizabeth. To me, this was so moving. To my dear sister Dolores, this was very moving. It was obvious that this lived in this woman's heart for years, for years. Thank you, Mother Drexel. Thank you, all of you. I thank you for being here and partaking of this. It touched me greatly that you're there. Pray for all of our intentions. And call Maureen, 267-408-3952. Call her and get information on those retreats that Catherine McCarthy is giving, okay? You won't regret that. God bless you. I love you. Love you, too. Love you.